Welcome again to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Well, look, everybody, welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I'm a Master Certified Coach, and I have been coaching business executives here in Orange County for 20 years under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. And we've been doing this radio show along with octalkradio.net ever since its first days on the air, which is about, I think, 6 years now.
Hey, you've been doing it a long time here,
We're going to have to get that date down, Paul.
I think we're going to have to get it established because we don't know when to hold your anniversary here.
Well, look, our topic for today is Stop Wishing, Start Having, with our guest, Scott Grossberg.
I'm going to stop wishing for all the problems I had today and start having a good day. That's what I'm going to start having.
Hey, you listen to this show today, Paul. Today's show is going to be magic.
Okay, I'm ready. I need some magic today.
Scott says that too often we feel that we're stuck in a rut, that we're not living our dreams, and we're unfulfilled. Personal productivity wizard, which is how Scott refers to himself, he's going to join us to show how you can be and do anything you want. And if you've ever been afraid of living an insignificant life and you're excited by personal growth and new knowledge, then we guarantee, money-back guarantee, that this show is for you. And all you have to do is take one tiny action. Stay tuned here today.
That's easy. I can do that.
Okay. Well, Scott, welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show.
Thank you guys very much. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, the honor's all mine. This is an interview I've been looking forward to. I'll just share with the audience that this may be one of my most difficult interviews because it's hard to know where to go in the limited time that we've got. Scott is so multifaceted. I mean, he has had a number of careers. He's involved in so many different things, and I just want to hear about all of them. So, The problem here is going to be managing the clock, but let's get us started. Well, look, Scott, tell our audience about your experiences prior to your current business model.
It's very interesting that you look at it in the context of how many different things that I've done. The reality is I've actually only done one thing, and that's done things. And magic is the thread through all of that. I started out in magic, and I used that term, that phrase, very broadly at a very early age. I grew up with parents who believed anything was possible, didn't tell me they very rarely told me no, quite frankly, which is why my model today, I'm not for everybody, and everything that I've done has been built around that rebellious attitude. I love setting rules for myself. I don't follow rules from others very well. And I learned to be restless a long time ago. So I have, I've been an emergency medical technician. I went to law school. I worked for Motorola. I'd actually learned some of my sales techniques from Zig Ziglar, of all people.
I'm impressed with that.
I wanted to be a doctor and chose not to do that because of the red tape, and instead decided to go to law school. I've been practicing law now. I'm a litigator for almost 30 years, and I'm a magician, professional magician. I'm a member of the Magic Castle in Hollywood, and I can go on and on. I run a number I'm very blessed to run a number of very successful businesses, not just my law practice. And again, it's all built around that concept of creating epic deeds to do and living a legendary life. And I don't say that idly. I don't say that off the cuff. It's something that it's just in me because I believe in defying the impossible.
Well, and Scott, you left out one of the things that frankly really drew me to you initially, and that is as an author, your book, The Million Dollar iPad. Phenomenal book.
Oh, well, there's that too. Thank you. See, now I've lost track of all the things. Considering we had an iOS 8 release and we've got the new iPhones coming out tomorrow. I've been very privileged, quite frankly, for the last 3 years to be able to work with Apple. And it was a goal, like, you know, talk about defying the impossible. 4 years ago, I sat down with a number of my business partners, and we all kind of decided what it was we wanted to do. And 4 years ago, I said, I want to work with Apple. And I got a couple of laughs because I had no contacts with them at all, and I have now been able to do what I'm doing for 3 years with them. I wrote two books just being passionate about technology. I do this on my own, so I wrote originally The iPad Lawyer, which was a book designed to supplement the seminars that I was giving in lawyers how to be technologically proficient to save time and make money. Apple liked what I was doing, and I started actually going to their briefing centers. So I've now been to Chicago and Philadelphia, to their flagship store in San Francisco, all around here in Southern California. And they bring me in, and I basically stand up and say, hi, I'm Scott Grossberg, this is how I work. From that, I then wrote The $1 Million iPad, which went number one a few days ago. And they love it, I love it. This is now the second edition that is out. There will probably be a third edition, given all the advances that are happening. And it's just, technology is magic to me. It's all a way of manifesting your intent.
Well, you know, and I love the way that magic sort of ties everything you've done together, although I'm not too sure how that fits into the legal profession. That's more like witchcraft. But okay, we won't go down that road.
the legal profession or magic?
But I just want to share with our audience, because Scott is so multifaceted, that we're going to give you where to go to follow him near the end of the show. But, you know, his emails on iPad tips, his book on using the iPad more effectively. He is a keynote speaker. There's a number of his presentations that you can find online. Very, very inspirational. And then beyond all that, you know, he wraps this up with this entertaining talk about magic, you know? So what are you focused on now, Scott? How do you describe your business when I ask you, what do you do for a living today?
Well, it is actually split. I do a lot of things. I still practice law. I write. There's a revenue stream from my books, obviously. My public speaking, there's a revenue stream. So for me, all of it is, and it kind of ties in, because people say, hey, magic, what does that mean? It all ties in with the fundamental belief that every single one of us has the power and ability to influence, understand, and manifest our own behaviors, our own responses, and our own outcomes. Now, on top of everything else, I happen to be a certified hypnotherapist. So I'm very closely aligned with how language affects our decisions. And I spend a lot of time, it doesn't matter what I'm focusing on at the time, I'm very narrowly focused on defining actions and beliefs that make things work for us. You want to call it personal power instead of magic, I'm okay with that, as long as the people I'm working with stay restless. And it all kind of intertwines. Believe it or not, as much as it sounds compartmentalized, a lot of my clients in the legal industry bring me in for retreats and executive coaching on the magic level. So it's you know, at one point in my speaking career, I was afraid to let anybody know that I did magic. I wasn't sure how that would be accepted in the corporate world, only to find out now, you know what? Nobody wants ordinary anymore. Everybody wants to step outside, think outside, be outside the box. I'm the guy.
Well, and you know, I think that's a lot of what your message is, what I've read and what I've heard, is it's all about not being ordinary. And I think that's sort of a great way to get us going today. Well, look, you know, one question that we ask all of our guests is what experience sort of set your guiding light for your quest in business or life? Can you share that with us? What's sort of your number one?
If you let me tell, Yeah, I can if you let me tell you just a little tiny story, because I think it drives home the point that I want for everybody.
Love stories.
When I was 13 years old, you know, everybody who goes through these grand epiphanies has a tragic thing happen. When I was 13, my best friend was shot and killed, and it was a complete accident. It wasn't a crime. Complete accident. I went off to summer camp, and there was a gentleman, a young kid my age, from Israel, doing magic for the camp attendees. I could see exactly what he was doing, and I was enthralled, not by him, but by the kids watching him, and I wanted that. I wanted to be able to do what he was doing and create that wonder and that awe and that sudden, that suspension of belief where they went, is that real? I had a huge problem, however, and that was leading up to the death of my friend and going to camp, I was painfully shy. I wouldn't go into stores. I would hide under the bed. I wasn't agoraphobic. I just didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. And so it was really, really, even to go to the camp, absolutely, I mean, I would just stay off by myself. It was beyond being an introvert. I am an introvert who's learned to be an extrovert. So here I am wanting to do magic. I could see everything this guy is doing. I'm pretty good at coming up with systems and solutions. I'm a fixer guy. I'm the one that walks behind everybody with a broom, so to speak. But I couldn't stand in front of anybody. And one day, here I am learning magic. My stepmom suggested to me that I get involved in theater and acting. And I did, and it was, I pushed myself because that's not something an introvert does, at least I didn't think so. And it was at that point that I realized you can script outcomes, you can script how you're heard, you can determine the message that is delivered, and all of a sudden, Doug, it literally all came together. For the first time, I realized that what I wanted was greater than what I was afraid of. And here I am.
Here you are. What you wanted was greater than what you were afraid of. You know, I think that, you know, I like that. If you don't mind, I'm going to borrow that and use it, because I find that the obstacle that most people face in goal setting is that they haven't dreamed enough about the goal to make it big enough and enticing enough to put up with the drudgery that they're going to have to go through to get to the goal. And that's what kind of what I hear you say in that sentence.
Yeah, I've actually created a restart question. You know, I like to joke with my live audiences, with my coaching clients. You know, I'm your control alt delete. I'm the guy that's going to rewire you and reprogram you. If that's what you want to do, and I've got a very simple restart question that I pass on to you and everybody who's listening. Just take a look at your life the way it is right now. Really, really, you know, envision it, where you are, what's happening to you, whose rules do you answer to, what people do you answer to, are you a doormat, are you not a doormat, are you a vampire, are you a victim, what are you? Imagine your life right now. And then just ask yourself the question, is this the way you want it to be for the rest of your life? And inevitably, when I then ask the follow-up question, do you want more? Now we're off to the races.
Love it. Love it. You know, I might just mention, because you did not mention it in giving us your background, is for the audience, Scott is also a transformational coach, and I can imagine the fun that your coaching clients must have with you and the way in which you bring them to look at things from a different perspective, to bring magic to their coaching.
Yeah, and actually on the website that you'll give them later on, they can see a video of actual coaching clients and some of the stuff that I do with them. And I don't take a lot of individual coaching clients anymore. I'm just too busy. But the ones that I have worked with, and some of them are on the video, we will literally take an entire day and rewire them. And it's not me imposing myself on them. It's me asking a lot of questions like, what do you want? And then figuring out a way. Every good magician starts with an outcome. And to think, you know, that's where thinking magically came from. To think like a magician means to visualize the outcome and then do what has to happen to make that occur.
Okay. And look, I don't want to hold anybody in suspense here. We're going to give the website at the end of the show, but why don't you give it to them right now, too, in case somebody has to, for some unknown reason, leave this broadcast before it's through. What's your website address?
It's very simple. It's thinkingmagically.com. THINKING magically, MAGICALLY.com. And from there, you can find the book, you can see the videos, you can see the events that I do. It's all contained in one place. I made it very easy for people.
Okay. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, is your thinking magically system. Apparently, you have a system for how you do this. Is that right?
I do, and it's really built around five concepts, and when you're ready for those, I'll give them to you.
Well, I'm ready for them. Fire away.
Well, the first, and again, bear in mind, I'm dealing with, you know, it's the little tagline for me is thinking magically for the rebels, nonconformists, and habitually restless. I get that's my audience. I get that I'm working with the mavericks. I'm working with CEOs who don't want the same old thing. I'm working with people who understand that good enough isn't good enough anymore, and quite frankly, in today's world, will likely get you fired. So with that in mind, number one rule, you have a past. Get over it. And it's built around the concept, I get it. We've all been hurt. We've all been rejected. We've all had pain. We've all had frustration. Every one of us, as unique as we want to be, are not as unique as we think we are. And so you had a past. I'm happy for you to recognize it, to look at it. Just stop staring at it. Stop using your past to define you.
I love it. And, you know, you're really following sort of the first rule of coaching, which is to deal with the present or the future, but to not deal with the past.
Yeah, and I've been accused, by the way, you know, people who push back against this, and I'm happy for them. But if it works for you, I'm glad for you. But I get a lot of pushback right at the beginning with that, where people accuse me of, Scott, you just say, you know, you're always just moving past whatever the problem is. And I say, uh-huh, that's what I do. Let's just get on with life. And so if, you know, we start with, you have a past, get over it. The next thing is, I want you to start attending, that's with an A, attending to your intending. All too often, we go through life and we survive. I wrote a little while ago this whole little manifesto where I said, I'm tired of people going through the day, coming home, going to bed, and if they've survived the drama, if they've survived the trauma, if they've survived the travails that have, you know, befallen them from other people, they call that a good day. That's not a good day for people who think magically. So you need to start attending. You need to start paying attention. You need to start actively getting involved in what you intend. And so one of the things, believe it or not, I spend a lot of time with either retreats or individuals, is showing them how to manifest their intent through their calendars. And that's where the personal productivity comes in. Far too many people have no control over the moments of their life. You know, you want to book me, you know, we were joking earlier about getting me on the show. My life is scheduled, and that's not a bad thing. It's not a rigor to me. It's not an obstacle to me. I've planned everything, and there are certainly flexibility built into a lot of things. But far too many people that I work with pay no attention at all to where their life is going. So we start attending to your intending.
And let me just interrupt here or add, sure, that, you know, I can see that the pattern here is, as you talk about things, you constantly sort of casually mention some technology, some system or some technology that supports and helps the principles that you're really talking about. And And I have to say, that's one of the things I love about your email and about your blog is your especially your emails. You're constantly turning me on to new apps that will help me be more productive, be more efficient. And that's what I sort of heard you sort of allude to here when you said working at your intending by getting control of your calendar.
Yeah, and thank you for recognizing that. It's built, all of this that I'm sharing with everybody today is built around one simple premise, and that's that knowledge alone is insufficient to work your magic, to work your personal power. You know, my family crest, the little saying underneath it, is say and do. People have talked to me about The Secret. They've talked to me about the power of you know, the law of attraction, and I say all of those are great except for one thing. You got to actually go do something. And what I deal with people, what I work with people, what I share with people in fashion and construct with them are the systems that enable them using their personal superpowers. And we've talked about superpowers with them. You know, what is your superpower? What are you really good at? What would you be known as? And then we amplify that through systems, because systems are what allow you to consistently create success. Everybody can be a blind pig and find an acorn, but I want consistent success for people so that they can replicate and literally grow and scale their companies.
And that's really what it's all about in terms of productivity. So, okay, so we've got two of yours, you know.
Well,
you
so
have
that
a casket over it, start attending to your intending.
That segues into the next one, which is success always, always happens. Do you? I have a firm belief, and that is you always get an outcome. You know, that's classic NLP. That's classic Ericksonian hypnosis. You always get an outcome. Most people would rather decry or deflect or deny what has happened than not take accountability. This is all about, guess what, guys? You're responsible for every single moment of your life. It doesn't make you a victim. Quite the contrary, it creates this preactive phase for you. But understand, whatever you do, you're going to be a success at. You might be a success at failure, but whatever you're doing, it's going to be successful. So, do you actually go out and start participating in your own success, whatever that is for you?
Tell me a little more about that, because I'm not sure I really got that. I mean, how do I participate in my own success? What are you really asking me to do there?
I want you to put one foot in front of the other and not sit back and think about success, not think about happiness. That it is literally, it'll be one of the hardest things that you would ever have to do if you do it with me. It was one of the hardest things I ever did for myself, is to sit down and we actually take various areas of your life, everything from the world situation to your philosophy of life, relationships with others, money. I mean, all these marvelous things that are very ethereal to these very down and dirty, how about your work and your career? And then we ask the question, who would you be if money was no object? What would be your perfect life if you knew you could not fail? The classic questions that have been around for a long time. But I actually make you write a multi-page outline so that you create a real life to shoot for, a real outcome. And then you have to take specific steps to do it. You got to take action.
So, and I like the fact that you just said that you make your client write the outline. In other words, you're not going to let me get away with just talking about it. I'm going to put it down on paper, and you're going to hold me to it.
I'm all about accountability, number one. Your own accountability. I'm not a taskmaster. But it's built around the concept that once you get it out of your head, and talking is just kind of in your head, once you get it out of your head on paper or on a computer screen, now it becomes magic. Now you're manifesting. And all too often, I will tell you now that most of the listeners are saying, yeah, Scott, I can go through and I can imagine in my own head. what happiness means. Or I can imagine what I would do if someone handed me $1 million. I challenge those people because I think you're deluding yourselves. And I am all about stripping away that delusion and forcing you to face reality. What would you do if you won $1 million? You want to be a millionaire. It's not enough anymore today, by the way. You want to be a multimillionaire? You want to be a half a billionaire? I've worked with billionaires, by the way. Everybody has the same challenge, and that's coming up with what do you want? Specifically, articulably, things that are both strategic and tactical, that every day you can get up and say, this is what I'm going to do to define my life, rather than getting up and saying, you know what, I'm just going to react to everything today, and if I get through it, it's a good day. I want people, again, to participate in their own lives. This isn't for everybody. This is not. It's simple. It is not easy.
Okay, if you just tuned in, shame on you, but we're talking to Scott Grossberg, author, speaker, lawyer, magician. I mean, this guy has got it covered from the soft skills to the hard technical skills, and it is fascinating. Scott, this is a great conversation. Thank you for your time today.
Oh, again, thank you. It's an honor to be on with you.
Well, look, you're talking about your thinking magical system, and you said there were 5 points, and you've given us the first three. One was you have a past, get over it. The second one was start attending to your intending. The third was success always happens to you. If I got those right, what's number four?
You absolutely got them right. That the fourth one is really the key to all this. I mean, the first three are the building blocks. The fourth one is very simple. It's time for you to fall off the wagon and get a habit. Every massively, incredibly, amazingly successful person that I've worked with, I'm sure you adhere to this, and that's that everyone needs mentors, everyone needs role models. I'm a part of the coaching thing that I do with people is we create 12 role models, a private board of directors for them to be able to have access to at any point along the way. And we're talking about a board of directors, so somebody that can advise them on health, someone that can advise them on money and wealth management, someone that can advise them on philosophy of life and religion. All of these people have already done it. And it's built around the concept that you, just by recognizing something that you want in someone else, means that you're able to recognize it in yourself. Every successful person that I've met has a habit of success. Yes, there are people who win the lottery and then they are dead broke again, if that's the way they were before. We all create these habits of either success or failure. I want people to create a habit of success. That means you get up in the morning and the first question is, what am I going to do today to live my dream? And when you go to bed at night, you review what you've done and applaud yourself for all the successes. You find what didn't work and you tweak it a little, and then you create a to-do list of what's going to happen tomorrow. That's what keeps you all energized. That's what keeps your personal power going. When I've been very lucky. When you're in a room, when you're in a gathering of billionaires, these guys are all about success. We're talking about playing at a very high level, and that's where I've learned some of this. These guys don't think about failure. Matter of fact, I asked one gentleman, we were having lunch, and I said, what are you afraid of? I've got a whole class thing of questions that I do to size people up, and one of the questions I asked him was, what are you afraid of? And his response was nothing. And he meant it. That doesn't mean he doesn't have failures. His mind is so built around being a habitually successful, consistently successful, that's what he starts attracting to himself, because that's the way he acts. People see him. He also made the comment that, Scott, you don't understand. If I asked all of my thousands of workers to follow me as I walked off the roof of our multi-story building, they would follow me off the roof because they know I wouldn't do that without having a safety net for them. very few of us. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, very few of us think like that. Very few of us walk into a room, a gathering of people, and already know what the outcome that they want to have happen is. And so I have a challenge that I ordinarily put out to people in my retreat groups, and that is, the next time you have a business meeting, I don't care if it's just around the water cooler, if it's an informal discussion with colleagues, if it's a formal presentation, just ask yourself what you want the outcome to be before you ever walk in the room. Stop reacting and start responding.
Well, of course, you've hit on the main reason that people hate meetings in business life, and that is that most of the time the outcome isn't well defined. There isn't the reason for the meeting isn't well defined, and that goes beyond the boundaries of the meeting, as you say. It goes to the way many people are living.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I work a lot with government officials, and you want to see red tape and rhetoric and people who push back against the extraordinary, that would be it. And it's very refreshing to hear them come back to me and say, hey, Scott, I use this. I'm not telling anybody what you're doing. This is all an internal construct. But they will now themselves have a pre-planned outcome when they walk in. And one of the things I also teach them, you never walk into a room without knowing the way back out again too. And so this is all about creating an ability to control your actions and your reactions. That doesn't make you a control freak. That doesn't make you a perfectionist, because if you do those two things, you're doomed to failure. Nothing's permanent. Everything changes, and life continually throws you curves. You've been doing this long enough, you know there's nothing that certain. Anything can happen in a minute. But you can choose ahead of time how to react to things. You can choose how to respond to things if you want to take the reaction to the next level. All of it starts with having a habit. You've got to train yourself, and most of the time, people are making bad decisions because they're not talking to themselves correctly. They're using poor language skills, even though they think they're getting better at it. How many times do you hear someone, for example, use the word try? I have yet to hear a successful, consistently successful person even use that word. Because when you use the word try, you're just telling people you won't do it.
Scott, could I ask you, share with us, if you will, a couple of your habits. What are some of the habits that you've developed that serve you well personally?
Well, the biggest thing that I do is, despite all the technology that we've talked about, you're going to laugh at this, despite all the technology, I go around the world with an iPad. I go around the world teaching about iPads. I talk about the iPhone. I've got all these things that I do with Apple. I have a Moleskine notebook, and I, every day, manifest on paper what I want every day. So I'm looking at this in the morning, and I'm saying, what are the things that I want to achieve? And they're broken down into sections. So, I've got grand designs, for example. I'm looking at the one from today. Grand designs. So I got a whole section of what has to happen, and these are mandatory things that I've set for myself. Then I've got loose demands. And those are things that I know I want to accomplish. It might get moved over to a grand design the following day. I collect quotes. I'm a massive quote collector on the various topics that interest me. And then I've got this whole thing that I call hoarded wealth and notions, where I brainstorm every day. And then I do what's called a brain dump. Now, this happens every day, by the way. So I've got this running journal, this running Moleskine of projects and things, and it's all, believe it or not, when I teach people to do it, highly organized, and then it's easily translatable over into my next habit, and that's my calendar is steadfastly attended to. It is literally how I manifest what I do in life. So my two biggest habits, I write down what I want, And number two, I schedule my success.
Okay, but you just blew me away. I mean, come on, I've got this image of you, Scott, as this technical guru. I mean, you are the iPad. You are the face of the iPad, okay? And now you're telling me you keep notes in a moleskin notebook. Why do you not put them on your iPad?
There is something... Oh, by the way, I do. They're all scanned, and they go on my iPad. What I don't do is always create it in the iPad, because there's still something very visceral, for lack of a better word, about taking a nice writing instrument on nice writing paper and putting pen to paper and seeing it. That's for me. I'm a very visual guy. You know, the technology end of things is a tool for me. That's the way I stay productive, I save time, and I become incredibly profitable. My businesses are run through iPads. My businesses are run through iPhones. I know that stuff inside and out. Now, by the way, I'm not an expert at technology. I am an expert at being successful with technology, and that's the distinction. It's a tool, and it's massively, massively usable. The moleskin, though, that's my passion. Because now I'm being very real. These are, you know, this is the stuff you look at in the morning, because I get to work at 5:30 in the morning. Nobody else is there. The phone's not ringing because I turn the switchboard off till 8 o'clock. I've got all this private time to be alone with my thoughts, with my creations. And there's just, for me, there's just something more real about this kind of magic than doing it any other way.
Okay. You know, I'm going to have to go back and check. In your $1 million iPad book, you have a list of tools that you take, and I was amazed. You have an iPad Air, you have an iPad Mini for reading, you have an iPhone, you have an iTouch. Was the Moleskine notebook listed in there, too?
Actually, it is.
Okay.
And if you look at the things that I travel with, I actually mention the Moleskine, and for those who follow me on social media... on Facebook, periodically, I actually take screenshots of my workspace, and you will see the Moleskine right down there at the lower left-hand corner with all my little notes on it. And it all plays together. But, you know, and again, all this stuff is in the iPad. It's just that I may write it down, and then I'll scan it, and it'll become a PDF on the Moleskine, or pardon me, on the iPad.
And you know, I don't mean to keep picking at you on this, but there's a key concept here that I think is important that you've brought forward, and that is that while you are very fluent in using the iPad and using technology as a tool, I'm getting the impression it is only a tool for you. It isn't who you are or what you're doing. It is just a tool to help you achieve what you're doing. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. Again, I'm going to go back to the magic metaphor. Magic works through the intention of the magician. It's the intention that we talked about earlier of creating something. You could use all kinds of tools. Money is a tool. If you want to make money your sole aim and your sole design, I would question it to begin with, because I don't think anybody works for the money, at least, and is happy about it. People work to get what money buys them. It's a tool. It's a vehicle, an avenue for creating what we all want. And Doug, you know, reality, everybody wants the same thing. We all want to feel better. And in feeling better, we all want to take care of our families. You cut through everything else. Cut through, I don't care if you're a doctor, a lawyer, if you're an executive coach. I don't care if you're the president of the United States. At the end of the day, every person, male or female, wants the same thing, and that's to feel good, because we're taking care of ourselves and our family. That's all this all matters about.
Okay. Scott, I don't want to get us sidetracked. I keep asking you questions here. You didn't get to fifth point here on your system.
The fifth point, again, I'll tell you a quick little story. I told you before about mentors. I have a mentor. When I was growing up, I wanted to be two things. By the way, just as a digression, I happen to believe all ladies listening to this will agree with what I'm about to say. All men, all women too, but all men, we have never grown up. We are still 13 and 14 years old. In our hearts, we are still doing and looking for and wanting everything we wanted when we were 13, 14, 15 years old. Every lady is now nodding her head saying, oh yeah, you know my husband. but the women are like that too. When I was that age, I wanted two things. Quite frankly, as I was growing up, I wanted to be two things. I wanted to be Batman, and I wanted to be an astronaut. So when people look on my social media stuff, you'll see all these people sending me things about Batman. The license plate on my car, believe it or not, is Dark Knight. I was able to get it. So I've gotten to the extent you can one of those things. When I was an EMT, an emergency medical technician, I actually thought about joining NASA. I grew, and it just didn't work out. I used to be really little. I grew up when I was in college. During one of my speaking events, an astronaut by the name of Story Musgrave, he has the most space hours of any United States astronaut ever, flown more space missions ever. When I found out he was going to be on the speaking circuit with me, I went to the organizers and said, look, I need to change our structure here. I want 45 minutes with this man. He's a hero of mine. If he will say yes, I'll do something else with you. And he actually said yes. He and I have remained friends, and he is the one who taught me the fifth and final lesson, and that is quite simply, just stay restless, which means I want you to rinse and repeat. Never be content with anything.
Okay. You've mentioned that a number of times in the show. I'm glad you finally came back to that, because you started off with the statement about staying restless or keeping people restless,
yeah.
And now it starts to make some sense to me.
I learned it from Story. And, I mean, here's a man, by the way. He's an astronaut. You go look up him online. Amazing. He's a philosopher. He's a poet. He's a grandfather. He's a doctor. A physician, doctor, surgeon. He's a farmer. You think I'm a Renaissance man? You ought to look at what Story does. And when I called him on the phone, he lives in Florida now, and I just said, Story, help me here. What's the one thing I need to keep remembering? And his biggest thing to me was, Scott, just stay restless. And I really took it to heart.
So those are the five tips for thinking magically. Your thinking magically system, not to imply that now that we've got the tips, we can go do it. But that kind of gives us the framework of what you're working on.
It is. It's a starting point for you. You know, once you solve any problem, which is where to start, there's always another problem. We are problem-seeking people. I am not about taking people's problems away. I am all about saying, okay, look, here are five things to start with. Anybody can now take these and immediately change their life for the better if they want to. They got to devote their intention to it. You know, the next step is, I've got a blog out there, as you've noted. Every week, I'm sharing this magic with you. It's a passion of mine. And so, you know, again, if you want to call it personal power, you want to call it your personal zeitgeist, you want to call it whatever you want to call it, great. I call it magic. Because to me, life is magical.
I've got to tell the audience here. There's a couple of blogs that you've done in the last month or two that I really think are definitely worth reading for the audience. That really sort of elaborate on what we've not had a lot of time to go into today. The one is your blog, The Secret of Using Magic, which I thought was just great. Sort of gets your philosophy down. I totally enjoyed the 40 signs that you might be a magician. And that was a lot of fun to read.
Thank you. And, you know, a lot of this is, I'm glad you said that they were fun, because a lot of this is, I want people passionate, but I want them to not take themselves too seriously either. And so some of these things are written with puns. Some of these are written a little tongue-in-cheek. You know, I had this whole, a while ago, this whole snake oil salesman article that I wrote, only when to find out when you come to the end, it's actually your own brain talking to you. It all of these are designed to help people get outside of the ordinary and just think differently about stuff, not to sound like an Apple ad, but literally to just get out of your own way and stop doing the same things because you were taught them by other people, which is also, you know, one of the big things that I do, Doug, here is I spend a lot of time with people and their fear, and whatever that fear might be, they need to realize that usually, with two exceptions, but usually they've learned the fear. They weren't born with it. That means they can unlearn it and deprogram themselves.
Wonderful. Well, look, I don't want to cut us short on this, but I would be really disappointed if I didn't take a few minutes on this show to try to get you to talk a little bit about iOS 8. Just came out yesterday. You know, you've posted, you've blogged a little bit about it. Thank you for your cautions about what to do before I download it.
Yeah.
But what do you have to say about iOS 8 in a few more minutes that would be of value to our listeners here?
Well,
quickly?
First of all, for those in Southern California, I am going to, we just added this, it hasn't even been publicized yet. On October 8th, I will be appearing for Apple at their Victoria Gardens Briefing Center, and I'm going to show off the iPhone because I'm getting mine tomorrow, just like everybody else. But I'm going to talk about iOS 8 in the business context and in use with both the iPad and iPhone. As far as I'm concerned, not only iOS 8, but the new iDevices that will be coming out are the game changers. In particular, people should keep their eye out on iCloud Drive. One little hint here, if you've been using iCloud to sync your photos, do not use iCloud Drive yet because you will lose that syncing ability. You know, you've got new camera capabilities, browsing capabilities. People right away, as a matter of fact, my personal assistant today downloaded iOS 8 and she was just raving about the way email and messages were handled now. Big things are going to happen. You got better battery management. The new phones, by the way, on tomorrow, better battery life. You've got anywhere between 12 for the iPhone 6 and 24 hours of talk time in the iPhone 6 Plus. That's incredible. Siri now has the Hey Siri feature, so you can actually have your phone or iPad plugged into your car. As long as there's a power supply, all you do is say, Hey Siri, and then do your request, and the phone comes to life. Continuity is incredible. You'll be able to, again, through the connectivity options, you'll be able to, because of iOS 8, pick up your phone, work on it, put down your phone, pick up your iPad, work on it. It will know, and it will pick up where you left off on your iPhone. You then go to your MacBook. It will do the same thing. You can now answer your phone on your iPad. I mean, I can't even cover everything. I've joked before about being Apple's new chief evangelist because I feel that way. The biggest thing for me, you're going to laugh at this. Everybody's got their own little private things they liked. The quick type keyboards, so that you now have those swiping gestures, so you don't have to hunt and peck with your forefinger anymore. I type very quickly on a keyboard, but in an iPhone, you're stuck with your thumbs or your fingers. Now you go download, and I don't get paid by these people, I believe it's called Swift Type. It's free. Go add it to your keyboard, and you just wipe your fingers across it, and it will incredibly speed up not only your accuracy, but your email and the way you handle it. You know, there are all kinds of official features. I would not, in all fairness, if you've got a 4S, I wouldn't download the iOS 8. I don't think it works well with the older generation. If you got the 5 and 5S, works great. Obviously, go get the 6. If you're thinking of getting a 6, get as much memory as you can. I'm getting a 128 gig because I want it all self-contained.
And again, you know, the thing that fascinates me, Scott, as you talk about these things, it's it's sort of, you're not just talking about this is a cool new feature. It's this is a cool new feature because it helps me do this. It's all about productivity.
I make money with
you,
these devices. I make money with these devices. It's just pure and simple. I run my offices with these devices. It is the way I tell stories. It's made me a better storyteller, for lack of a better way to put it. It has given me the tools to finally take my vision and manifest it. I'm not trying to be cute with it, but the reality, that's how I originally got into the whole iDevice Apple product, because it allows me to take the very creative entrepreneurial brain and combine that seamlessly with the massively practical guy who has employees and business partners and a family, and I owe them all the obligation to be a success. I owe myself the obligation to be a success, so why not use the best tools out there?
Okay. Well, Scott, look, before we sign off here, please once again tell people how they can get a hold of you, how they can follow you, where they can buy your book. Fire away.
Well, first and foremost, the central hub to everything is my website, which is thinkingmagically.com. You can also get there through scottgrossberg.com, but just thinkingmagically.com kind of sums it all up. It's thinkingmagically.com. That's number one. From there, you can watch the video. My Thinking Magically blog is available through there. Subscribe to it so it goes to your email. You can find the books that are on there and a few other things that I've done. I am on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, Twitter, and I believe now Tumblr. And so every Sunday, there's a new article that comes out, and I do that. I mean, that's, again, just a passion of mine, because I'm writing about the things I want to know about. When you read something, that's not just me getting on a soapbox. You will be reading what Scott's exploring right now, and I'm sharing it with people. And then through my Thinking Magically site, there's a way to contact me if you want to and ask any questions, and it's all good.
Okay. Scott, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. Thank you for joining the Coaching Perspective audience of guests, and it's been great. We hope to have you back again, maybe at the end of the year, to talk about some of the new Apple stuff.
It would be a true pleasure, and then we can talk about the new iPads.
Sounds great. Have a great evening, and thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you.
Well, we've been listening to Scott Grossberg. Scott is, it's hard to define. Scott is a productivity genius, whether he's using that in his advocation as a lawyer, whether he's using it as an author, whether he's using it as a magician. He is just somebody that you want to follow, you want to read about, and you want to see what tools he's using that you can steal, borrow, and apply to your own life. Because there's a lot of good thoughts that he's put into it. He's shared a lot of really great stuff with us here tonight. Well, look, thank you very much for listening tonight. If you're listening to our podcast, then thanks for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other great shows, either on the website or through our Podbean account, which is dgefeller, dgefeller.podbean.com. And again, we've been coaching executives and business leaders here in Orange County for 20 years, and we're going to continue doing that. So if there's a way in which we can help you, let us know. If you're not getting our weekly email newsletter on the radio show, drop me a email and I'll see that you get on the list. That's Doug at thecoachingperspective.com. Thank you very much. I hope that you've enjoyed the show today and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach and part-time magician, Doug Gefeller.